We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is that time to check in with that guy who covers the Packers for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, Ryan Wood. Real quick, before I punch him up on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, we have kind of Brewers news. Craig Counsell holding a press conference ahead of the NLCS.
Yeah, they asked him who the starter is.
For game one?
Quote, according to Scott Grodzki, CBS 58, quote Craig Counsell, I don't have names for you.
Okay.
So it's a bullpen day. He said names.
You know, the way
He said names?
Yes.
So is it a bullpen day?
Maybe. That's a good catch by you right there. It's very
NFL. Are you going to freak out if he's a bullpen day in game one?
At first I will, and then I'll process it, and I'll handle it and figure out what they're doing.
That means Shaughnessy's not only going twice.
Yes. Which, I mean, as we sit here today, I don't like it. But that's how it's been with a lot of Brewers decisions, that I figure out what they're doing and what they're up to, and then I like it. But the way that they're handling stuff, Sparky, is very NFL-like. They're not giving away anything that they don't have to in these press conferences as far as who you'll play. Whatever the case might be, Craig Counsell is not tipping his hand in any way, shape, or form for the Dodgers or anybody else before the NLCS comes around. And we see that more at like Mike McCarthy press conferences and NFL press conferences around the country than we do in baseball. I like it. I like the fact that they're not telling anybody anything. And there is a guy on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline who gets that treatment all the time. Ryan Wood, how are you this afternoon, my friend?
Hey, you know how Dom Capers used to like to go 10-on-11 with defense? Maybe they're going to go 8-on-line. Just throw in the pitchers from second base. That'd fool them.
That would probably work the way things have gone for the Brewers this year. Hey, Ryan, before we get into football, there are things bigger than football, and I wanted to make sure I mentioned this today. I've commended you on pieces that you've written in the past. I've never meant it as much as I mean it today, man. And inside the Green Bay Press Gazette, it's not in the sports section. It's not in the Packers section. It's just right there in the Green Bay Press Gazette or at greenbaypressgazette.com. The story of your wife's and, by extension, you and your family's struggle with mental health on National Mental Health Day Mental Health Day today is maybe your finest work, and I think it's something really important and stories that whenever people who are involved in things like you and your family were involved in, when they're ready to share those stories, I think it's really, really important and a great thing to do, to share them, to sort of knock out the stigma that surrounds mental health, man. That couldn't have been easy for you. That couldn't have been easy for your wife. And beyond the fact that it's something that more people should do and need to do, it's just a very well-written piece, man. So I just wanted to thank you and commend you for that piece.
Well, I really appreciate that. I'll be honest. I didn't sleep much last night, knowing that this was going to drop in the morning. My wife and I, for a long time, have thought about sharing our story. I am blessed with a platform that can be used to help people. With that said, it's something that, especially me, you know, my wife in the 2014 season is when this really happened, and we hit rock bottom. I remember being in the press box in Buffalo. She would blog through her illness. She was always an open book, and at first, I was very hesitant. I was very much, boy, what are you doing? I don't know if we should put that out there. And I've come a long way, because at the end of the day, the stigma is what kills people. The people die because they internalize. They feel like they can't share it, and it's already a hopeless disease. But when you feel like you can't share what your problems are, it really lends to even more hopelessness. So I've come a long way personally with becoming more comfortable, and really, there's no way to end the stigma like talking about it, feeling open to share it. And I tweeted this earlier, but the responses today have been beyond overwhelming. I'd hoped that sharing this story could help others, especially giving hope to those who need it. But the responses they have really lifted me and my wife up, our family, and it's just been an amazing day.
So how did this come about exactly? Did the paper come to you and ask you to write this? Did your wife ask you to go to the paper and want you to write this? Was this your idea? How did this work?
I guess initially it was my idea. I asked my wife what she thought about it, knowing that she would probably be okay, because like I said, she blogs, and frankly, she's a far more talented writer than I am. She's an amazing writer. We met at the college newspaper at Ball State University. She was a news reporter. She's blogged throughout, so I had an idea that she'd be okay, but I was like, you know, we do have this platform, and just wanted to see what she thought, and she was, of course, on board. Then I asked a colleague of mine, our columnist Pete Doherty, whose opinion I trust really far and beyond almost anyone I've met in this business, and he thought it was a good idea. I went to the man that hired me, Robert Zizzo, the executive editor of the Green Bay Press Gazette, and I still was very unsure, is this the right thing or not? And he, Robert Zizzo, has just been a godsend for me and my family. The way that, you know, and all bosses should do this, but not all do. He's been unwavering in his support from the very beginning. And it really started months after I was hired and put on the Packers beat. And so I talked with him, and he thought it was a great idea. He was of like mind that it could have the potential to really help people. And that's really the two primary goals, was to give hope to people who are going through this and might feel hopeless, and also to, you know, end the stigma. My dream, frankly, would be for Green Bay to become a community where mental health is openly discussed, and that there's no shame in it. There's no embarrassment in having an illness, and that's really what it is. So I would love to see that, and I kind of wanted to do whatever I can, do my part, and Kelly felt the same way, to kind of make that happen.
You know, I'm interested to see how Packer players are going to react to this when you go back inside that locker room. Because I bet you, yeah. I'm willing to bet you, there are quite a few Packer players that either are or have family members that are going through similar stuff and can relate.
Well, not just Packers players, but what's amazing to me, and one of the first things I learned, because I think my first reaction when it first started happening in the fall of 2014 was, how can this happen? I mean, I was just shocked. I couldn't believe that it was happening. And one of the first things I learned was, there's so many people that are affected by this. I mean, it's unbelievable, really, how widespread mental health issues affect our society. And there really is strength in numbers. I'm kind of the opinion that the more people that speak out about this, especially if there are any Packers players that have the platform to use for the good, it's a great thing, because that just, you got to knock down the wall that stigma creates. It is such a dangerous thing, the stigma, and to
pro athletes stepping up and admitting their struggles with it, or their family's struggles with it, can have that much more impact. Kevin Love, in the last day or two, said his campaign to raise awareness about mental health is the biggest and most important thing that he's ever done in his whole basketball career. And the reason that I say that they can have that much more impact, because we look at these guys, and physically they look like gods. They have all the money in the world. You look at them and you go, what could possibly be wrong in this guy's life? But mental health doesn't doesn't care how much money you make. It doesn't care how physically healthy you are. This can strike anyone at any time, and we need to have these types of discussions and see the types of articles like you wrote today, and see prominent people whose life is seemingly perfect speak up and say, look, this is affecting me too, and for the rest of us to look at that and go, yeah, this is something that we all need to talk about, and it can affect anyone at any time.
You know, it was a story that I read when Kelly first started slipping with her mental health that really gave me a ray of sunlight when it was just really dark. And that was from the journalist Chris Jones in Esquire. I tweeted out a link to it today. It's simply titled, "Some Days You Just Feel Like Killing Yourself." And it was really enlightening to see what someone goes through and how they go through the abyss, hit rock bottom, but then climb out of it. You're right, Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan, Larry Johnson, a wonderful story that Kent Babb of the Washington Post wrote a couple of years back on Larry Johnson, the former Kansas City Chiefs running back's health. Those personal testimonies are so important, and they've been so important to me as someone who has gone through this, because it has helped me know that I'm not alone, and that there are other people who not only have dealt with this illness, but there are other success stories, because frankly, we need all the success stories that we can get when it comes to mental health. And so to see that vividly in personal testimonies is it's just been awfully important. And you know, I've gotten a lot of emails today from people who have been going through the same things, and they've uplifted me as much as I hope I've been able to uplift them. It really there's an army of survivors that yep. have gone through this, and the more people are willing and the more people are comfortable in speaking up about their successes and battling this disease, the better.
Ryan, we're up against the clock. We wanted to make sure we gave that article its due time, because A, how good it was, but B, how important it is. Can we hold you over for another segment to actually talk Absolutely. Some Packers with you? All right, man. Hang on one Absolutely. Sec. We're going to hit a quick break. Our Green Bay football insider, Ryan Wood, will get the latest on the Pack when we return right after this on the Wendy's Big Show.
This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for your home, auto, or commercial business needs at pncinsurance.net.
Segment two with our Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood here on the Wendy's Big Show. And then we'll reset the big topics discussed on today's big show, give you the final say on them with Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and there is Woody on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ryan, you had a little exchange with Packers head coach Mike McCarthy earlier this week on the subject of Aaron Jones and the running backs.
Would it be fair to say, when you talk about the balance of the backfield, do you feel that Ty and Jamal are similarly as dynamic with the ball in their hands as Aaron?
I'm not going to sit here and get evaluations. I don't appreciate your question.
Tom,
I think they all
get
have
out
excellent,
of here. That still makes me mad.
Attributes that contribute to the offense. Aaron is dynamic with the football in his hands, but there's more to the offense than just running the football.
That's him telling you, I'm going to talk for a second. That's him telling you, yeah, I know he's the better player. That's him. And don't tell me that I have to say it out loud that he's the better player.
And that's what I was going to ask you, Ryan. What were you trying to get at with that question? What were you trying to get Mike McCarthy to say with that question?
Here's the thing. We're not talking about snaps, right? We're talking about touches.
Yep. Right.
Those are two different things. Being on the field is different than being on the field and getting the football. So Mike McCarthy had just before that said that we know what Aaron Jones does. He's very dynamic with the ball in his hands. That's really what he gives the offense. Well, if you look at it, the touches have been pretty similar. I mean, they really have. Not just the snaps, but the touches. And so if you know that Aaron Jones is very dynamic with the football in his hands, I just wanted to know, yeah, I thought it was fair to ask, does he feel that Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams are similarly dynamic with the football in his hands? I mean, that must be the evaluation, because the touches have been so evenly distributed. If not, it really makes no sense that the touches are so evenly distributed. And I know it's not as simple as just put Aaron Jones on the field when you want to give him the ball, because that's obviously a key sign to the defense of what's coming.
Nope.
But you've got to find what if he's much more dynamic than the other two running backs with the ball in his hands, and oh, by the way, the stats make it very clear that he is, then you have to get him the ball more. You have to get him more touches.
But it doesn't have to be a telltale sign. You can play out of the shotgun with him standing next to Rodgers. It can be a draw. It can be him into a pass route. He could be in a single eye formation and can run a pass route out of that or take the ball. See, my thing is this, because Ellerson brought this up earlier when he was on, and I didn't hear McCarthy say it, and I don't know if Gary was reading between the lines or whatever, but do you get any sense that maybe he just doesn't know the playbook all that well?
I think that he's bad in pass pro. I think that's the issue. And when you have a quarterback as banged up as Aaron Rodgers, as important as Aaron Rodgers, but obviously he's not physically 100%. You want to keep him healthy. That would be, I think, why he's not on the field more. Certainly it's a reason why he wasn't on the field and didn't touch the ball in the second half Sunday, from their perspective, because they're passing almost every play, and they need their pass blocker in the backfield, who is really Jamal Williams. As I see, and it's not, and I've written this too, it's not that Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery are bad running backs. They're actually pretty good running backs. They play the position well. As I see the backfield, each guy has a role where they really excel. Ty Montgomery is a superior route runner. He's a receiver in the backfield, and that can create matchup problems. Jamal Williams is a really strong pass blocker, and he runs really hard between the tackles, which does wear on a defense. You need a runner like that. That's important. But Aaron Jones is by far the biggest playmaker, pure playmaker that they have in the backfield. The numbers really don't have any ambiguity when it comes to that. It's very clear. So if you have a guy whose production is so much more, and by the way, Mike McCarthy calls this fantasy football talk. I mean, this is what he refers to it as. But if you have a guy whose production is so much more, and a guy that makes so many more plays, and you're not giving him the ball so much more, I think that's where fans can legitimately have a gripe.
It's pretty easy for me. You just take Ty Montgomery out of the situation. That's it. That's all you do. Ty Montgomery is either going to be a wide receiver, or we're trading Ty Montgomery to Philadelphia or whoever has any interest in Ty Montgomery at this point. Now, Mike, you have two running backs. You have to play Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. I look at Carolina. You had Stewart, you had D'Angelo Williams, and then they went and got Tolbert for San Diego, and they tried to play with a three-headed running back tandem. I don't think it worked all that well. It was much better when it was just Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. It can be the exact same thing in Green Bay with Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones.
Yeah, and, you know, Ty Montgomery is a good player. The thing that surprises me is that they don't move him around the offense more. I mean, to me, he's kind of a queen on a chessboard type player, where you move him around and put him just about any position, and you can help kind of dictate the matchups based on that. Frankly, I don't see a lot of reason why Ty Montgomery can't be on the field with an Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams simultaneously. I mean, they're so different in what they do. And certainly Ty Montgomery can run the football occasionally too. That's part of what he's so versatile. That's part of his repertoire. But you want to hit the ball to Aaron Jones, and it's not happening.
Talking with our Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood here on the Wendy's Big Show. And for all the consternation over Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers and what's going on the offense, you look at the defense, and statistically, I haven't looked at it since Sunday's game was played, but coming into that game on Sunday, this was a top five defense yardage-wise. Ryan, do the stats tell the story when it comes to this Packers defense and the improvement, or is there a much longer way to go than what stats might indicate?
I think they're pretty middle of the road. They as a defense collectively, they have some really good moments and they have some really bad moments. So that's not a good defense. It's not a bad defense. It's just kind of in the middle. And from a statistical standpoint, a lot of that was bolstered by playing Josh Allen inside Lambeau Field, and Josh Allen just had no idea what he was doing for four quarters. I mean, he got sacked seven times. There were turnovers. They didn't move the football except for twice, and I think both times they had terrible turnovers, really like high school level turnovers from Josh Allen into those drives. From a statistical standpoint, a shutout so early in the season makes a big difference. Create enough turnovers. Take the one game against the Bills aside. Great defenses make plays, and you make plays by sacks, one, but by generating turnovers, and they haven't. Even the turnovers they've gotten, a lot of them have been gift wrapped by the offense. Ha-ha Clinton Dix had a really good interception against Josh Allen, where he made a play on the ball and beat Kelvin Benjamin to the football. That was a good play. His other two picks, the ball was thrown basically directly to him. One was on a deflection, one the tight end quit a route, and he was the only one there. You look collectively as a defense, it's kind of the same thing. To me, a good defense needs to create those turnovers, and the Packers haven't been. So because of that, it's hard to call them a good defense right now. You just can't.
What's the deal with Bashaud Breeland? Is he going to get any time of significant time? How hurt is he? I obviously didn't play the last game, but I'm anxious to get him out there because I think it really helps the secondary when he's able to play.
Well, he was a late add to the injury report last week. How significant that is? I honestly don't know. It's always guesswork with these soft tissue. I think it was a hamstring.
Of course. A hamstring injury in Green Bay, that never happens.
Yeah. Well, soft tissue, yeah. So, Yeah, he was a late add and obviously was inactive. I think the first week it was just a matter of he didn't have enough time. So if he's healthy this week, I would expect him to be active. I think that a couple weeks is enough time to get into Mike Pettine's defense, especially from the corner position, and have a good idea of the coverages. It's just a matter of if he's healthy. And because they are on a Monday night schedule, game week-wise, we'll have more answers later
in
the week.
And then it's a bye. You have to have him for the Rams game. You need him for the Rams game after the bye. At Rams, at New England, you need him for those games.
All hands on deck after the bye. I mean, they didn't do what they needed to do as a team. As a team, they needed to rack up the wins in September and October, and they didn't. That's why I said last week I thought the Detroit game was such an important game to win. And they came out and didn't really even give themselves a chance. When you look at the yardage and how they moved the football, they should have won going away. They were their biggest enemy with all the blunders that really kind of culminated into an overall debacle. Being 2-2-1 with the schedule they've got coming up after San Francisco is really not a good place to be.
That is Ryan Wood, our Green Bay football insider. Find his work inside the Green Bay Press Gazette at PackersNews.com. He's on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. And Ryan, once again, thank you and great job with that piece on your wife and your family's struggles with mental health. And it is Mental Health Awareness Day, so a great time to drop it. I recommend everybody go and see it. And if anybody in your family or in your circle is struggling with it, talk with them, make sure they're getting the help that they need, and maybe just point them in the direction of Ryan Wood's article so they know that they're not alone with this struggle. Ryan, greatly appreciate it, man. Thank you for the time, and thank you for your work, especially today.
Yeah, and I'd encourage anyone who is struggling, drop me an email if no one else. rwood@gannett.com. That's GANNETT. Drop me an email if you don't know where to go. I know the resources very well. I've been through this for a few years now, so it's good to talk about. Don't internalize.
It's a great thing you did, Ryan, and bigger than football. Not many things in Wisconsin are bigger than football, but this is. So thanks again, man. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
And he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.